Well, folks, welcome to the Nobleman Podcast. I am stoked to have a new guest with us today, a friend by the name of Brandon Powell. Brandon is a brother in Christ and met him down at Southeastern Seminary, I guess last year, and then a few weeks ago we reconnected. So, Brandon, tell us what your role is with Baptist on Mission down in North Carolina.
Yeah. Hey, brother. Thanks for letting me join you guys. It's always been a blessing to talk with you and to see you on campus. My role with Baptist on Mission for the state of North Carolina is I'm the student mobilization coordinator. That's just a long official title of basically saying I just get to get students involved in missions, middle school, high school, college age, young adults, connecting them with meaningful mission opportunities, whether it's short term, long term, or even beyond. You know, we're trying to find opportunities to leverage opportunities, times when they're on breaks or over summer, to just give time to serve on missions. And so it's been a joy to do that. I've been a part of that for over 20 years, volunteering, leading student missions, college missions, speaking, coordinating, and now I get to do this full time. So it's kind of the culmination of 20 years of local pastoral ministry and the experience of doing that. Now I get to do that to help other groups and other churches and other organizations do what I've been passionate about for 20 some years.
You know, I can tell just by talking to you, Brandon, in our conversations previous and even now, that you and I share a unique scenario among men. And that is, I sense that we both really feel just completely at peace and excited about what God's given us to do. I mean, it just strikes me that this is not just a job for you. It's a passion, and it is a delightful assignment from the Lord that you get a lot of joy from. Is that a fair statement? Am I reading that correctly?
Oh, yeah. You know, nothing delights me more than seeing God's will fulfilled in the life of people. You know, yeah. Young men especially. When you see a young man, a middle school student, just this past weekend, we had a mission weekend at our mission camp in Rose Hill, and this group was helping build interior walls for a pastor's parsonage. And these two little middle school boys, I mean, knee high to a grasshopper, middle school boys were in charge of the nail gun. And to see these guys just really get into, you know, learning how to use the nail gun and where to nail it and how to frame it up, man, it empowered them.
Yeah.
It says, listen, I can do something if you give me a chance. And so when you see God do great things like that in the lives of students and young adults, and they say, hey, I got a purpose. God's got a plan. And I may not do this for a living, but I know how to do this now.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what feeds my heart and soul to see that happen. And I just smile when I look back and see the grin on their faces, you know?
That's awesome. And you know what? We'll spend most of our time talking about young men and men in this whole thing. But part of what I love in that story that you just shared is that these middle school guys, all of a sudden, that gives them an opportunity to feel powerful, to feel masculine, to feel valuable, to do something that probably some of their buddies are not getting a chance to do, to use a nail gun, to learn some new skills. And I think one of the things that we miss in the local church is taking advantage of opportunities like that to invite young guys into the community of men by doing manly things like building and construction and serving in those ways. Man, you can almost see those little guys growing as you're watching them do things like that. Is that consistent with what you're watching there?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I've always had this belief that I should never do ministry alone.
Yeah.
So in my years of pastoral ministry, if I was going somewhere to speak or if I was going on some, I'd ask one of my students, I'd say, hey, you know, get two or three guys and say, why don't you come along with me and just sit. You can just encourage me. You can pray for me. But just that time together and watching them do stuff like that, spending time together, it is so cool. Like even with my own son, when he was little, you know, my father-in-law was building a detached garage. And so we're out there framing up
right,
the walls to this detached garage. And my son's there with his little tool belt and his hammer. And we're saying, okay, buddy, nail this in. And my daughters are out there with us too. And just to see what comes out of children, right, when you give them that opportunity. Now he got a construction management degree. He works for a construction company. So it all starts by empowering young guys with an ability and a skill to do something and say, hey, go do that.
Right.
And then let God do the rest.
Exactly. And so we can do that. Now, we're talking about that here, just a couple of comments in the realm of construction. But when we do that in the realm of Christian service, we can also see them grow. And so little guys that get to participate in serving and sharing and being part, not just going and observing, but being an integral part of what the Lord is doing, whether it's serving in some sort of short-term mission context or something. But when guys get to actually participate and get their hands dirty and learn some things, when I say get their hands dirty, I mean that figuratively, because they're going and serving and help. Maybe it's working at a food bank. But when we need to involve the next generation in actually doing the work of ministry, not listening to stories about it or not watching other people do it, but actually physically engaging. And that's a big piece of what you're trying to do, because it gives them a taste of something that you hope that they will continually be hungry for, correct?
Oh, absolutely. You know, one of the neat things what I get to do is a ministry called Deep Impact.
Okay.
Baptist on missions, and that is an emphasis on engaging middle and high school students in week-long mission trips over the summer. But we also, through Baptist on missions, have deep impact kids, and deep impact kids involves children in the local church context and engaging children and their families and parents in missions. So to start them and introduce missions to them when they're young, that carries over to their teenage years and then carries over into their college and young adult years. And then they're living a lifestyle of service, because
Right. Really
missions is just a modeling what Jesus Christ did for us. The
Right. Greatest
among us will be a servant. And when there's no greater gift to serve someone, whether it's at, like you said, through construction or through like a homeless ministry or providing during a disaster, providing a place where a family can get a warm shower and get their clothes washed.
Yeah.
We have young adults that go through our disaster relief training and respond to the disasters and go as a college ministry or a church group and say, hey, we're going to mud out people's houses. And so, you know, you're never more like Jesus than when you're serving.
That's right. When you're, you know? When you're stooping low to help someone else or learning how to do those things. Let me ask you this. Part of what you said, you always wanted to take someone with you and engage them in the process as you were going, whether it was to speak or to do anything. And one of the things that I recognize that we're struggling with in the local church is intergenerational connections.
Mm-hmm.
And so I get to a lot of churches where I see seasoned men say, boy, we sure wish we could get some younger guys to be involved in what we're doing. And I tell folks, it's kind of like a middle school dance where the girls are on one side, the guys are on the other side, but you just end up in a lot of churches where the young folks are on one side of the Christian service and the older folks are on the other side of the equation. And they both know that connecting would be valuable, but they don't know how to do it. So tell me a little bit, for the benefit of folks who might listen, about how you have seen intergenerational connections fostered through mission opportunities. Because I got to believe that those little guys had someone showing them how to use the nail gun who was willing to stand beside them and offer some guidance, help them with some safety precautions and that sort of thing. And that needs to, this is where the seasoned men come into play, and they have to be willing to let go of the nail gun and let the little guys do it and see the great value of making that investment. So speak to that for the benefit of our folks.
Yeah, you know, that's a beautiful picture. In my years of youth ministry, my main focus was youth ministry, but I always felt my second most important ministry was senior adults.
Mm.
And so I always tried to connect the senior adults. Here's what's going on with your with the students, the, your grandchildren or your great-grandchildren. Right. And would invite them to come down and speak to our youth and vice versa, get the youth to go and speak to the senior adult class to bridge that gap, because they're not too far apart when you really right. think about it. God's just because you're older doesn't mean you retire from ministry and service. So like this weekend with building this, the interior walls for this parsonage, Richard Weeks, who's the associational missionary down there in Rose Hill, but also he helped him and his wife helped run our mission camp. He's sitting there teaching those students, those young guys and those gals that were yeah. out there. This is how you frame it. This is what you do. And then empowering them by releasing it, you yeah. know, and so you show them and then you let them do it.
Right.
And you know what? It doesn't take but 2 seconds to pull a nail out and re-drive a nail.
There you go.
You know, but I think when you create an environment that allows the two to break down those walls of, okay, well, the older generation thinks the music of the younger generation is terrible and vice versa. I said, so get that out of the picture. What is the one common thing that we have? We have breath in our lungs. We have a heart that's beating. We have hands that can feet that can serve. So put them on that opportunity, that mission field together and let them work together and have that shared experience. And you know what? The complaints that you may have heard before slowly start to diminish
yep.
because you have built unity amongst the brothers and sisters in Christ when they serve together. That's yep. the joy of service. Listen, you and I could be total strangers, but you put us in a ditch, digging a footing and putting block right. up. We've got a shared experience, and that's going to carry on beyond that week of missions, you know?
100%. Unless you're watching this, you can't see that I've got my fists in front of me. And one of the things that I talk about with guys is that when we sit down face to face, there is this tension that feels like there's conflict of some sort, or that I have it's a face to face engagement. But if we can work together and do something shoulder to shoulder first, then it takes the hardness away from being able to sit down face to face and break bread together. And so I love to see guys work shoulder to shoulder so that then when they sit down face to face over a meal, that scenario is much more comfortable and they can then begin to go a little bit deeper into understanding each other and affirming, caring for, sharpening each other. I mean, that's really part of what we're doing here is iron sharpening iron this whole scenario, because we're looking to become more like Christ. So does that resonate with that little analogy there, Brandon?
Oh, absolutely. And you think about it, men, by our very nature, we keep things close to our chest. We want to have the outer appearance of having it all together, while inside it's just like a ping pong ball in a vacuum cleaner. Everything's bouncing around. It's crazy. But getting men to serve together kind of breaks, like you said, side by side, opens that door for deeper connecting, but deeper communication. And so when you have that shared mission experience, hey, I know I can trust my brother Mike because of what we just experienced. So when I'm struggling with something, who am I going to call?
Right.
Hey, Mike, man, I'm having struggle in my marriage. Or, you know, I just don't know how to parent my son right now at this stage. You got any advice for me? So it's much more than just meeting needs in Jesus' name. Missions builds that connectivity that men right. need. And also, as you do that as men and you teach them to do it as young boys, you're also teaching them what it means to serve your wife. To
right.
serve your family the way Christ wants you to. So when you put yourself in the background, you start to see the needs of your spouse and say, okay, am I going to be sacrificial
right.
to give this up to help my wife? Is being right that much more important, or is being sacrificial and loving to my wife or my children? And so, you know, men need that serving together, because it's right. it's that door that, one, glorifies God, helps meet great needs in Jesus' name, but it builds that connectivity so that years from now, when I need you, man, I reach out and call you, you know?
Right. Yeah. We establish those relationships, yeah, and that has long-term value and impact. Now, I want to go to a passage in the Word, because one of the things that we've talked about is the difficulty that we see with young men turning away from what the world and our culture has to offer to say yes to go and follow Jesus. And so let me set this up by going to Mark. I'm in Mark chapter 1, and I know I'm kind of pulling this on you. I'm in Mark chapter 1, verse 16 and following, 16 through 20. You'll recognize it. Passing alongside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on a little further, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in their boat, mending the nets. And immediately he called on them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and followed him. Brandon, what I just, there's so much that I love about this. First of all, immediately, if you ever want to do a fun word study, go through the book of Mark and underline the number of times that you read the word immediately. And you just get the sense that around Jesus, people were compelled to make a decision and move quickly. There was very little halting decision-making, and I think the presence of Christ and his call to on our lives just elicited a response from these guys. And they left their occupation, they left the family business. Man, James and John left their dad, they left the boats, they left the nets, they left the hired servants. And the reason that they did that was because serving Christ was more compelling, mm-hmm, than continuing in the family business. Brandon, what must we do? What can we do? What do you see churches doing that are effectively calling men from what our world wants to say is the most important stuff and helping them really see eternally what is the most important thing? And that's walking faithfully with Jesus to be on this mission of fishing for men. I hope I've set you up well there to go after some stuff, but
I got you. I'm resonating with you. You know, the neat thing is if we as men try to fit the mold that the world has set out for us, we're it's always changing.
Yeah,
and you know, there's always a bigger boat. There's always a bigger title. That's what we're taught to pursue, right? Pursue the bank account, pursue the titles, get the things, but that constantly changes.
Yeah.
But what doesn't change? The Word of God and God's design for us. And really, there's a book I'm going through. It's called Living Fearless by Jamie Winthrop. And it's all about establishing your identity in Christ. Okay, your identity's not based on what you do. Okay, your identity's based on whose you are.
Right.
And so, you know, even within the church context or Christian circles, we could say, you know, the successful man, you know, has to have this, has to have that, has to do this, has to have that job. When really you go back to what you said in Mark, it was following the Savior, the things of the world, the profession, the job, the fish, the boat, the father, you know, that's big when you walk away from that. But what's more important, our obedience to follow the Savior, to follow Jesus, or the security of having the things that we feel are going to help us survive and succeed? And that's hard in culture because, you know, hey, we got bills to pay, right?
Yeah.
The world, our parents going to look at us, you want to do what? You know, quit your job and go where? But if Jesus was calling men who were facing the same struggles that we are today to follow him, and you're right, immediately means immediate. You know, delayed obedience is disobedience.
Right.
And so when they say immediately, we say, well, I could never do that. But you know what? If we don't make that decision right then, we may never make that decision. Does that make sense? So the joy I love in that is they knew that their identity, they may not at that time, but they look back and said, my identity is found in my relationship with Jesus.
Yeah.
And then Jesus takes my skills, my abilities, and uses that for his glory. But I have to be willing to walk away from that first, you know?
Absolutely. And I love what you said. They may not have understand all of it at that moment, but they knew the right next thing to do was to step away from the safety. And you use this, the safety and security of what their future looked like there, to something that it's paradoxical because it appears to be unknown and unsafe and uncertain and unsure.
Yeah.
But if the Lord has called you, there is no more appropriate. There's no more rewarding place to be. There's no more fulfilling experience to have than to pursue the road that he has mapped out for you, to pursue that path, his calling. And whether that is serving in a local context and, you know, being a layman in a local church, but saying yes to, I'm going to serve here locally, or I'm going to go on a short-term mission trip for the first time. As a matter of fact, guys, if your passport is not up to date and you don't have, you know, you couldn't respond immediately, then maybe your only takeaway from this podcast is go get yourself a passport and be ready to go if he says, I want you to go. It may be, you know, something longer term, and you can find out. I mean, we'll put some links in here where you can find stuff. But I want to say one other thing that I'll get you to speak to. Brandon, one of our sons is getting ready, and I don't want to do too much on this, but one of our sons is looking to go overseas for a couple of years. And man, that's not easy for us to consider as a mom and dad who probably, like Zebedee, would have rather had James and John there so that he could pass on the family business and he could see the grandchildren and he could care for them. Some of you guys listening to this podcast are grandparents and fathers, and part of your obedience will be to live and lead with an open hand that says, I'm going to release my kids to do what the Lord wants them to do, and not make them feel guilty and not impose upon them restrictions to make me feel comfortable about having them close by. So I've said a lot. Respond to that, Brandon. Give some color to that whole outline there.
Hey, you, brother, one of the hardest things for me as a father was moving from the coach to the cheerleader in their life, you know, where you're speaking in them, you're telling them do this, do that. And then they get a point where they're learning on their own. They need to go and experience on that own. And when they get to that age where they're ready to kind of spread their wings and go on, you transition. You're the encourager, you're the supporter. And you know, if we want our kids to excel in sports, we're going to invest a lot of time and energy in that. But sports comes and goes.
Yeah.
So really, if you say, hey, my kid has a bent towards athletics, well, yeah, be a Christian athlete. Don't be an athlete who's a Christian. So you build within your children the identity of who they are in Christ first, and then you are a artist who, you're a Christian artist, you're a Christian athlete, you're a Christian scholar, whatever it is. And then that prepares you as a parent or even a grandparent that when God calls them and they answer that call, it's much easier for you to say, son, daughter, I'm ready for you to go. God has prepared you and he's prepared me to release you. I feel sometimes I can be the biggest stumbling block to my children because I try to fit them into the box that I feel that they should fit into, when God's box is much more different, much bigger, much more complicated than I can ever understand. And so one of the greatest joys, even though it breaks our heart and I can feel the emotion it coming through you talking about your son, is one of the greatest joys and one of the most difficult times for parents is seeing them, their back to you as they move on.
Yeah.
But the same God that sustained you as you raised them is the same God that's going to sustain them as they move out. So celebrate those things. You know, I hope that answers your question, but we need to celebrate those things.
And 100%.
Just as I take joy when my son hit a home run in high school, I need to take just as much joy when my son says, Dad, this is my chosen field of profession, and I'm going to go that route, and I need to cheer him on, you know?
100%. Yeah, that's part of what, as I hear stories about young people who want to go to the field, one of the most challenging pieces of that is parents who are reluctant to release them. And so I think there are things we can do in the church, we can do among men to encourage us to live with open hands, even as it relates to our kids.
Yeah.
So let me ask you, I'll turn this just a little bit. I know you are in Asheboro, North Carolina, visiting a church that you pastored in the past for a season, and you stopped in to just check in on and affirm and cheer for, pray over, I'm sure, break bread with a young man who at one time served as your student minister and now has been, he's going to be the pastor of this church. So tell me what it's like to mentor someone for those years and watch them, cheer for them, walk with them, and encourage the guy who needs to be reminded that when we invest in the next generation, they're just going to blossom and God's going to do something really cool with them.
You know, when we were talking about doing this, I'm like, okay, where am I going to be at this time when we need to stop and find a good Wi-Fi? And I was like, you know, I'm on my way to Charlotte. Let me stop by Asheboro. Just this weekend, my buddy Justin, who served as the youth pastor at Crossroad in Asheboro for many, many years, the church just voted and affirmed him to be their pastor. And I'm like, well, if I've got to go through Asheboro, I want to stop by and see Justin and be with him and encourage him. And it's so neat to see God. That's the ministry of multiplication.
Yes.
You know, I'm not saying he is where he is because of anything with me, but I'm saying I'm just grateful that I got to be a part of his faith journey as a young pastor, a young minister, and now celebrate with him his success. That mission retreat we had this weekend, my former intern, who he was in my youth group for many years and then interned with me when I was in youth ministry, he interned with me for many years. He's a youth pastor now in Jacksonville. I said, Travis, come and be my speaker. And to sit back and watch this young man who was in middle school, okay, when I first met him, now he's leading well for the gospel in a church and student ministry, inviting him to come and speak. Man, that same thing with a parent. That should bring us joy.
That's right.
That something, despite ourselves and as messed up as we can be sometimes, God used us to make a difference and impact this next generation of pastor, of church leader, of whatever. And so to be able to do that is one of the joys, because many times, you know, in life, you may not get to see the impact that your ministry has had. Think of the coaches in your life that you look back on, and they may have been the toughest coach you ever had, but looking back now, they were the greatest influence in your life, and they may never know it. To get that glimpse of seeing that in the lives of some young men is just reaffirming that, hey, it's worth it. It's worth it.
100%. Yeah. Hey, you're talking about that made me think of 2 Timothy. This is another familiar passage. Paul writing this, Timothy, I thank God whom I serve as did my ancestors with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day. This is Paul praying for Timothy. As I remember your tears, I long to see you that I may be filled with joy. I'm reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and now I'm sure dwells in you. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. And guys, I would just say that we often posture ourselves as a Timothy who needs a Paul to encourage us and walk with us and be a guy who's, we need that cheerleader. But here's what I am concerned about in the local church, and one of the things that I think is just a rich opportunity is, guys, you should be looking around. Where are the young men that you can affirm and you can encourage and you can say, hey, I see you loving your wife well. I see you caring well for your children. And so in much the same way that Brandon has invested himself in these young guys who are pastoring, man, that may not be your story. It may not be the pastorate, but you may be cheering for a young husband, a young father, a young businessman who's doing business with integrity, and he's representing Christ and the church well in his reputation in the community. And if you can notice that, to encourage that, to be a Paul to a young man who may be fearful of what's going to happen if he chooses the right path, if he chooses the narrow way. And so, man, we can cheer for those guys. And so, Brandon, we're going to finish up, but just give some final encouragement to more guys to look around for the young guys that they could just pat on the back, encourage, send a note to, have a cup of coffee, whatever it takes to encourage a young man to walk faithfully with Jesus and lead well.
Amen. You know, I love what you just speaking. Our eyes just need to be open. You know, our experiences, I mean, our age, where we are in life, we've got some experiences. Some are good, some are bad.
That's right.
But those experiences God has used to make us who we are, but also for a reason to pour into younger people. So I think one of the biggest things is we just need to open our eyes, you know, remove our eyes from our phone and right. just open our eyes and identify in our local church context or whatever. You know, pray when you're in church and say, hey, is there a young guy in here that I can just call and text and encourage?
Yeah.
And always look for somebody. You know, that's when I said, you know, never do ministry alone. Always look for somebody that you can invite on your faith journey. And then you can learn from them just as much as they can learn from you.
Absolutely.
But never, don't do life alone. We've never been called to do life alone. You know, and if God's given me the ability to lead through difficult times because of what I've been through, man, I can pour that into the next generation. So always look for opportunities and pray over the young men, you know, at our age, pray over these young men in the churches. My wife and I, we started going to a new church. Okay. And this is going to be funny. We went to all the life group on Sunday. We went to everyone to try them out. Right. You know where we landed? A young couples class.
There you go.
Me and my wife. And we said, we hope you don't mind us being here, but right. we just really feel like we connect with this group and with you. And we're learning so much from them, as I hope they're learning for us. So I think you just put yourself in a place where you can be used by God. Pray for these guys. Contact them. That's the biggest thing. Guys aren't going to ask for help. But if you, as a leader, go to them and say, hey, how can I pray for you? How can I encourage you? Why don't you come and do this? Hey, you know, Baptist on Missions has this construction skills training down in Red Springs. Well, it's one day Saturday. We're going to learn how to use a hammer and nail. Let's go do that. You know what I mean? Take them with you. And you know what? Healthy. It's this, like you were saying.
Right.
This leads to this.
That's and right.
That's my biggest encouragement. You know, the church is a place of relationship, of that vertical relationship first, but then the horizontal relationship That's with right. brothers in Christ. So, yeah.
Absolutely. That makes me think. Brian Laritz wrote a book called The Cross-Shaped Gospel, and it talks about we've got to get the vertical right so that we can get the horizontal right. So, 100%. Well, Brandon, thank you so much for your time. This has been rich, and I would just say we probably need to do this again because I think there's some things that we haven't covered here that we could Amen. Enjoy. This has just been a bunch of fun. And so Baptists on Mission, we'll make sure that we've got your contact information and some other resources in the show notes when we put that out. Anything else that you'd like to share with folks as we close here?
You know what? Intentionality. I think when you look at Jesus's ministry, he was intentional. One, about building relationships with everybody, all kinds of people. So intentionality, availability, you know, we've got to free up space in our life so we're available, one, to minister to our first and foremost important ministry, which is our family. But available to do those things. Like you said, have your passport up to date. So intentionality, availability, and just say yes. You know, the most used word in the local church and Christian life is no. And yep. Sometimes it's not, it's used in a different way. Well, I'm not prayed about that yet. You know, hey, whatever it is, we want you to do what God wants you to do. But listen, just say yes.
Yeah.
And see what God does. So those things would be my last words of encouragement, you know, because if God's calling you to do something, that means you're the only one that he can use to use. I mean, he can use everybody, but he's calling you specifically because
he's got a unique assignment for you. Yep.
That's right. So,
you know, the whole idea of just say yes, I just wrote in an online forum for a class that so many folks in the local church use the strategy of procrastination by prayer. Let me pray about that. And so what they're doing is just putting off telling you no, which that's what they're planning to do. They just don't want to feel bad about it. But if they would just say yes and see what the Lord does, he's gonna move. So I love that. Intentionality, availability, and just say yes. So
yeah, and yes is basically yield everything in service.
Oh, I love that. There's an acronym for us.
Yield everything in service. So
I love it. Well, Brandon, thanks so much for joining us. And I appreciate you, brother, and look forward to staying in touch and us encouraging each other as we walk this out.
Thank you for letting me be here. God bless you, brother, praying for you and your ministry. And thank you for what you're doing, not just through this and your ministry, but what you're doing with those young men on the campus of Southeastern. So thank you.
Well, it's a joy. God bless you, friend. Thanks so much. Folks, this brings us to the end of the Noble Man podcast with Brandon Powell. We're excited to have him. And so hope you'll check out the show notes and enjoy sharing this with other folks who you think might be blessed by the message of encouraging more men to be involved in local missions and investing in younger men, inviting them to come alongside. God bless you. Have a great day.